So one of the Moros, which took place on Shivas HaBetamos, and the Mishnah makes a list of them, is the fact that the Luchos were broken on Shivas HaBetamos. Now the truth is, that was one prat in the story of the Chet HaEgel. Klai Yisrael is chayte with the Chet HaEgel, and because Klai Yisrael is chayte with the Chet HaEgel, Misa comes back to the world. The Torah describes that Christ is supposed to be destroyed, but Moshe Rabbeinu was Dobbins. The Rishon says it will be Pakti Pekadati, that every single Peronius which will happen in the future is rooted back in Chet HaEgel. So if we want to look at the day of Shivas HaBetamos as being a significant day, it is the day that Christ was chayte with the Chet HaEgel. We talk about we look at the Psukim, the Torah seems to focus significantly on the story of the Chet HaEgel, and Klai Yisrael to be destroyed, etc. Within that, there's a small few Psukim which talk about the Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the Har, and he breaks the Luchos. On the other hand, we do find that at the end of the Torah, the Rishon gives Moshe Rabbeinu a Yasher Koyach, the fact that he broke the Luchos. So there's some element which is significant. But the question is, why does the Mishnah focus on this Prat when it should focus more on the Klal Yisticah issue of the fact that the terrible Peronius of the Chet HaEgel happened to Klal Yisrael, which is going to be the source of all Tzoros which are going to be contained in the future. Even the Chet of the Meraglim, according to many Mephorshim, was rooted into in the Chet HaEgel. The fact that Klai Yisrael cannot go to Eretz Yisrael was rooted in the Chet HaEgel. So it seems to be funny that we focus on the Shiras Haluchas. The Mishnah continues and says that there are other Moros which happened on Shivas HaBetamos. The Talmid was no longer brought. The city was broken into. The Tzelem was Humad Behechel. And each one of these, if we think about it, the fact that the city was broken into is a sad reality, but it wasn't the end. So why are we looking at this as being something of significance in its own? It was the beginning of the end, and the end of the end is Tisha B'Av, and we have an expression of that Merah. We are noig Avelus and Tainas on that day. Why do we need to sort of move it back to start it now? Adam Rishon is chayte with the chet of the Eitz Hadas. After that Eitz Hadas, there's something called Ra. Now, the truth is, Ra, there's no such thing as the reality of Ra. Ra does not exist. Everything Kadosh Baruch Hu does is Toiv. There's no such thing as Ra. So what does it mean that Adam Rishon now ate from the Eitz Hadas and he's Yudea Toiv Ra? I mean, now Adam Rishon perceives Ra as a reality. Before the Chet HaEgel, before the Chet of Eitz Hadas, there was no understanding of anything as being Ra. The person, Adam Rishon, saw everything as coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything, the Baruch Hu created the world for the purpose that we should serve him and thereby connect to him and get a reward from him. There's no such thing as something which is Ra, which is bad, which is evil. And that is the reality of the world. That is the true reality of the world. After he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he was able to perceive things as being Ra. Contrasting that, he was able to perceive things as being Tov. But once we understand that Ra is something which is going to be now, as it were, disconnected from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is a reality on its own, because if it's connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it can't be Ra. So Hu Adin the Toiv can be perceived as being something which is disconnected from Kadosh Baruch Hu and being perceived as Toiv. So Adam Rishon's perception of the world, of reality, was distorted, and he misread and misunderstood the world from the point of the eating of the Eitz Hadas. When Klai Yisrael comes to Matan Torah, the purpose of the Torah is to give us the glasses and the lenses to see the world appropriately and see the world for what it is. Through the Torah, through the learning of the Torah and the mitzvahs of the Torah, we can relate to every single physical reality of the Bria and understand what its function is in the world of Avodas Hashem, which is its true reality, which Adam Rishon was able to see before the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. the Kabbalah is actually, that's its primary function. The Reb Chaim Frieglander, in his set of sermon from the Ramchal, in the volume of the Sefer Charkov Mekubal, in the introduction, he brings over there from one of the Balei Machshava that they said that all of Kabbalah is really rooted in the concept of Da'as Elokei Avicha. All of Kabbalah's function is to help us see and understand how everything in the Bria emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everything in the Bria's purpose and function is to be understood through the Torah. We get a clarity of what it really is about, both in the Torah's HaNigla and Torah's HaNister. So Klai Yisrael is now standing at the cusp of a world where it's not menutok from its reality, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. Within that world, in that context, so then there's the physical is really spiritual, and therefore there's no room for Misa. A person can live forever because the nituk of the physical expression of the person from its reality is no longer true. So we receive the Torah. Now, we have to think about what was the significance of the purpose of receiving the Luchos. It's a physical manifestation and expression of the Nesinas HaTorah. The main thing is the Baruch Hu spoke to Klai Yisrael and gave them the Torah. What were the Luchos going to add to the world that the Baruch Hu wanted to give the Luchos, and what was taken from the world when the Luchos were broken? The word luach, uses in Lashon HaKodesh, is something which you cannot write on, you must engrave into it. Different than the usage which you have in modern Ivrit, where the word luach can refer to a blackboard, which is something that you can write on. Luach, the point of a luach, was something which, in Lashon HaKodesh, that Rav Moshe Shapiro pointed out, that the usage in modern Ivrit is a corruption of the understanding of the word luach in Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh Badafka is an area that's used to refer to something which must be to write in it, you must engrave it in. So here we have that the words of Torah are going to be engraved. Now the Torah talks about kasam aluach libecha, that the luchos correspond to the labor of the person. So the analogy is that we're going to take the words of Torah and engrave them into the luchos. It's equivalent of saying we're going to engrave them into the luach of the lave of Klal Yisrael, which means that these words are going to become given a permanent reality within our being. So that we understand, we came to the moment to grasp the clarity of the Torah gives us the understanding of the reality of the world, that there's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Einod Mulvadoi, the Bereshit opened up the Zayin Rikiyim, and Klai Yisrael saw Einod Mulvadoi, and there's nothing else but the Metzias of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is just an expression of that. And all of life is a purpose of expressing that reality. It's now going to be given a permanence through the luchos. The luchos are going to, it's going to be, the words of Torah will be engraved in the mitzias of our lay, which is the being, the organ which gives life to the person. So it means the mitzias of the person now will have that engraved into him. There's no greater distortion and misperception of reality than about Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the greatest falsehood. It's the greatest non-reality, that there's something to be ovid other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just that we see a physical world and we run after it, but we recognize that there's a spiritual element, but it's the wrong spiritual element, Chas v'Shalom. So Klai Yisrael is chayta with the Chet HaEgel, they lost that clarity that they had, that they saw Behar Sinai. They were standing on the cusp of the moment to receive this as a reality of permanence, that this is not going to just be something which Klai Yisrael reached it for a moment and lost it. It's going to remain with us forever, that clarity, that understanding. And here we misunderstood the world. So therefore we lost that permanent reality which the Luchos were going to offer us. However, Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchos because this reality is no longer true. He did not break the luchos with the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the Har, and Vayar, so Egel u'mecholos, he sees the Egel and the Mecholos, and then he breaks the luchos, which means even if we had a lapse of misunderstanding, and we lost the clarity of sight, and we don't see the reality as the way we're supposed to, it's still possible to recapture it and to hold on to it permanently. The luchos could have remained the Klal Yisrael. And what does it depend on? It depends on if you want it. Imagine Klal Yisrael truly wanted that. And Klal Yisrael is absorbed in the chet. But the reaction has to be, I wish I wasn't doing this. I hope, I prefer not to do this. I feel so bad that I've done this. It has to be an expression of sadness, not of happiness, not of mechalus. Mechalus is indicative of the fact that that was their true rotzen. That's what they wanted. That was where their rotzen was, so that became the reality. It wasn't the chet alone, chet being chesoron, which is the problem, that they missed something. That alone is not the problem. It's only when that becomes part of the part of their being, which is defined by their rotzen. The chiddush of Eretz Yisrael, the purpose of Eretz Yisrael is, like we say in the Haggadah, that Bershom takes us in Eretz Yisrael to give us the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash is a place where Shemayim and Oretz kiss, the Gemara says. It's a place where the Ruchnius and the Gashmius meet. We have a very physical Beis HaMikdash. There's many different metals. There's stone. There's animals. There's blood. There's water. There's wine. There's flour. There's fire. It's a very physical reality, but it's very clear to every person who walks into the Beis HaMikdash that this is not physical. This is spiritual. This is something beyond just the physical. It was a place where we saw with the clarity that the physical is just an expression of the Ruchnius. Physical exists only as much as it is an expression of Ruchnius. When Klal Yisrael is offered Eretz Yisrael and told they're going to get Eretz Yisrael, which means they're going to get a place where they're going to have that clarity. So Klal Yisrael is given a second chance. You misunderstood by the Chet Egel. Your Rotzen was misplaced by the Chet Egel, and therefore the luchos were broken. But there is a second chance that you can get Eretz Yisrael. Now, Eretz Yisrael, interestingly enough, is referred to by many words which tie into the idea of Rotzen. It's referred to as Eretz Chemda, Eretz Chefetz, even Eretz Svi. The word Svi can be lashon of that which we wish. As a matter of fact, Rav Moshe Shapiro says that the word Eretz, the root of the word Eretz is the word Rotz. It's what you run to. So if Klal Yisrael had a true desire for Eretz Yisrael, that's what they really wanted. They wanted this opportunity to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and have the clarity of the Bria being just an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing more than that. And therefore to live their lives on that plane where Ruchnius and Gashmius are one. If they truly wanted that, they wanted the Eretz, that was their Rotzen. So when the Meraglim come back with the message that the land is Ocheles Yisrael, it wouldn't have stopped them. They wanted Eretz Yisrael. And if the Bershom sees fit in his plan for the world that we should go into Eretz Yisrael and we should be destroyed over there, there for what? But if that's what the Rosh Hashanah wants, there can't be a reality other than the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what Eretz Yisrael expresses to us. So either it means that we're going to survive, and if we're not going to survive, that's what's supposed to be. We are supposed to finish out our existence in a world of where there's no difference between Ruchnius and Gashmius, and that's the end. So that's the Tikkun of the Bria. Like, so what's there to be crying about? So in the vantage point of a world of Rotzen, of a Rotzen for Eretz Yisrael, the Bechia is a Bechia Shal Chinam. It means there's nothing to cry about. The fact that Klal Yisrael cried a Bechia Shal Chinam, they cried, indicates that that wasn't their Rotzen. So the opportunity to correct themselves, which Chet Egel had set into motion, and which was embodied in the Shiras Aluchos, the opportunity to correct it was given to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael missed that opportunity as well. The other experience, other things which took place on the day of Shivasa B'Tammuz, which were the other Moros, is Hufka Ha'ir. So the city was no longer protected. Now, if we're looking at the tragedy of the lives, the loss of life, that is a very sad moment, obviously. But if we're looking at the Yerushalayim was the place where there was a place of chibur between the Shemayim and Oretz, between man and his creator. The mila of the walls around the city was that it protected that. It maintained that reality. So here is the moment where there was a pirtza. We talk about shmira, the walls of a city act as the shmira. We have to know what is expressed inside that we want to be shomer. What was the value which is inside that the shmira has been lost? We talk about other places, we talk about the different shmira saloshin, shmira sainayim, etc. It's not just I have to watch my tongue or watch my eyes. I'm protecting them from a loss. Something of value is being lost when my tongue, which is the place where ruchnius is expressed into gashmius, is misused, where the physical desires of the world become a person's focus. Something is lost. It's a shmira against a damage. We don't want that. The Korban Tumid is a suya by Har Sinai, the Pasuk says. It was an extension of Har Sinai. It was an extension of that moment where we have the clarity of understanding what life is about. The Chinuch says in his explanation of the mitzvah, is we go out to our avodah, we work in the morning and we work in the afternoon. During that time, it can't be that the Eved should be better than the Master. The Eved is the Gashmi, is the physical world. The Master is a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Ruchnius. You're not going to express it in an expression of Ruchnius. That's the purpose of the Korban Tumid. That's what Klai, and it's referred to specifically as Asuya Bar HaSinai, because this is an extension of Matan Torah, where Klai will have that reality. So the Korban Tumid was the expression of this reality of that man, his purpose is not his physical work. The physical world is not the purpose. The physical world is just an expression of a makam of chibur, tiratzu l'kadosh baruch hu. It's interesting that the opposite of chibur is chorev. When you take apart the connection, you're left with destruction. It's also the word chorev can mean dry. If we want to look at our own lives and see where we grapple with this issue, we don't have Beis HaMikdash, but we have mitzvahs, we have Torah. Is Torah something which is exciting to us? Are mitzvahs something which inspire us? Are they something which change us? We feel a connection to something greater than ourselves. Are they dry? If they're chorev, if they're the all they are is something which is dry to us, that means it's an expression of korban. Avelis is rooted many times. You said that different. The Rehersh, it says the word avelis is from the word but, that there's something missing. When we talk about avelis in our life, means we're stopping for a moment to say, this is not the life that I want. This is not the life that I want, which is just this physical dry world. I don't find chiyus and geshmak in my Torah mitzvahs, which indicates to me that there's something missing in my reality. So we were given Torah, which is the vehicle of that chibur, and for us it's become chorev, it's become dry, it's churban. There's something missing in our lives. That's the velus which we are introducing and starting on Shivasa B'Tammuz and continuing until Tisha B'Av. It's the velus of that's not what we want to be. But different than a physical avelis, where you can be aware of the fact that a person, an almana, loses her husband, it's clear to her that it's missing. The avol is always there. It's always there that there's something missing. There's always that but. We're having a simcha, but the father is no longer here anymore. We're having a situation, but so-and-so is not here to help us deal with it. It's always there. By ruchnius, it's not obvious. It's only if you're rotzen is that you want something greater, then you feel the avol that it's not there. If there's no rotzen, there's no avelis. So as much as we have the moments of Ratzon that we want more, that we feel the veil is that we're missing something. It's the time to mizbanan on the fact that we are missing so much, and we want more than that. We're not happy with this reality. We don't want this to be our reality. And then we are expressing the Ratzon that we want something greater. The Ratzon is what gives us Eretz. It gives us the land of Eretz Yisrael. It gives us the Eretz Chemda, the Eretz Svi, the Eretz Chafetz. It gives us the Hechatimsa that we should have something greater because of the Rosh Hashanah Malichon Hosei. So Cholam Yisalbo on the Churban of the Beis Mikdash is Zoyche V'Rabbi Shuasa. So Rabbi Meir, as itself points out, doesn't say he's Yizke V'Yira, he's Zoyche V'Raya. Right now, he's seeing a greater reality. The Ratzon itself helps us see that there's something more to the world. So as much as we feel that we're missing it, we're actually getting it at the moment that we realize that we're missing it. We realize that there's something more. We now have something more. So that is the process which allows us to redefine and redirect ourselves. So the veilus is the vehicle. The feeling of lack is the vehicle which allows us to redefine what life is about. And that's what we are expressing in the veilus of the starting from Shiva Sabatamus, when we feel that the luchas were broken, that permanence of that reality is not with us. The shmir around the city of that of the place of the chibur between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu became chorev, became dry. The opportunity to constantly be able to be tamed, to be bar Sinai, to be connected to Har Sinai is missing. Even the idea of putting a tzelem b'heichel, Menashe put a tzelem b'heichel. Tzelem is the greatest non-reality. It's a avodah zarah. There in the mukam where Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, it's a mamish, it's nekuda of that. We're getting it wrong. But what's fascinating is that the Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed immediately. We should say, the same way the luchos were an expression of that reality. You lost the reality, there's no more luchos. The Mikdash is not just an expression of that reality. The Mikdash was the vehicle to give us that reality. The Bereshit says, I'm going to give you another chance. The same way he gave us the opportunity of the Eretz Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel. Says, you can correct yourself. And Menashe did tshuva. But it wasn't enough to hold on to it. But yes, even after we feel we don't have that reality, we don't have that clarity, we can get it back. We can understand it, and we can live with it, and we can desire it, and feel how much we don't have it yet. And that's what the power of the veil is of the 3 weeks will accomplish for us. And Biroya Bishuasa.